Think about how we avoid discomfort, suffering, and death. To avoid discomfort, we have invented air conditioning, bucket seats, padded shoes, thermal underwear, and even complex social manners to avoid awkward moments at parties and in public restrooms. To avoid suffering, we have invented philosophies that deny evil, political utopias where no one is rich or poor, and religions that believe suffering is an effect of desire, and so we must eliminate desire. To avoid death, we have invented material immortalities, surgeries, pharmaceuticals, diets, exercises, genetic therapies, nanotechnologies. To avoid death, we have also invented ways of creating and recreating ourselves out of death or beyond it. The beautiful immortalities of art, literature, monument, heroism, memory, music. How much of our daily living is about avoiding discomfort, suffering, and death? A better question, as members of the body of Christ, heirs to the Father's kingdom, are we called to avoid discomfort, suffering, and death? Is this a part of our ministry as disciples, as apostles? When is sacrificial service not about discomfort, suffering, and death? Isaiah sets us up to understand exactly how suffering, willingly taking on pain for a godly purpose, is essential to sacrificial service. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Note these three. If he gives his life, because of his affliction, and through his suffering. And note the progression. The Lord's servant freely offers himself for the sin of others. He sees the light in fullness because of this sacrificial service, and through his suffering, his willing acceptance of our sin for a higher purpose, the servant brings many to righteousness. He justifies us before the Lord. In other words, because he was discomforted, because he suffered, because he died, we do not have to. We are instead comforted, free of anxious worry, and we may live eternally. And so if this is true, and it is, why then do we still work so hard to avoid discomfort, run so fast from suffering, and dodge the death of repentance so arduously? We do not want to be last. We are creatures of firsts. First across the line, at the top of our game, highest score, fastest time, strongest lift, best grade, first prize. Deepest soul, lightest spirit, hardest body. All to weaken and fade, all to weaken and fade and die. Dust, shade, snap of an echo, gone. Who wants to be a servant? Who wants to work to serve others? There is no glamour, no applause, no dramatic ovation or spray of roses. It's humble grubbing, embarrassing effort that makes someone else's life better. But it gives me wet armpits and dirty hands and a sore back and a log jam on my own homework or my own TiVo watching. Surely it is better to be served, better to be first and not last, a master and not a slave. If you will be in this world and of it, then you are morally obligated to pursue the best, the first, the highest. To be in and of this world is to be in and of the virtues of the world holds up as good. To be otherwise is suicide. You must honor the bottom line, praise efficiency, worship at the altar of productivity, practice winner-take-all competition, lose the losers, appeal to no power mightier than civil law. Here is your bumper sticker. If you have yours, I can't have mine. You must celebrate my needs as my rights, otherwise you are oppressing me. You must also celebrate my wants as my rights, otherwise you are hating me. Requiring me to serve others is just you trying to control me with guilt. I don't do guilt. My adult spirituality is an eclectic weaving together of the best elements of a variety of religious traditions, none of which require anything of me, especially not sacrificial service. If you will be of this world and in it, you must conform to its virtues, work pride, self-avarice, power lust, gift envy, success gluttony, failure wrath, and soul sloth. Play with these worldly virtues, or risk their opposing vices. Ignored in modesty, disrespected for generosity, mocked for purity, taken for granted in kindness, ostracized for abstinence, laughed at for mercy shown, and hated for one's holy industry. If you will be great among the Lord's disciples, you will serve. If you will be first among the disciples, you will be a slave to all. The pain that Jesus endured on the cross did not and does not save us. The beatings by the Roman soldiers, the betrayal of his disciples, the political backstabbing, wheeling-dealing of Pilate, all of these caused Jesus pain. This pain does not save us. Pain is not redemptive. Isaiah heard the Lord say, "If he gives his life as an offering for sin, the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him." If he gives. James and John asked Jesus to be honored in his kingdom. Jesus says to his honor-seeking disciples, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink?" They say, "We can." We can drink the cup that you, Lord, drink, the same cup that Jesus later prays will pass him by. For the servant's pain to be redemptive, for Jesus' pain on the cross to be redemptive, it must be suffered, that is, allowed. It must be taken on with a will and directed to the benefit of others. To wallow in pain is just to wallow in pain, nothing more. To take up pain in the service of others, to designate pain as a sacrifice, to make it holy by giving it away for a holy end, that is suffering. And this suffering mocks the devil. It scrubs the world clean. It rotates the holy virtues of pride and greed and blesses them as humility and generosity. Discomfort is eased, suffering is avoided, death is delayed. We will invent and reinvent human civilization after human civilization in order to ease our discomfort, to avoid our suffering, to delay our deaths. And we will lift up and parade the secular virtues to justify our refusal to take on service for others. But is this what we as Christians are called to do? Are we called to avoid discomfort, suffering, and death? No. We are called to transform discomfort, to transform suffering and death, to make each into the good habit of being Christ's for others. We are called to turn discomfort into the luxury of humility, to turn pain into the art of redemptive suffering, to turn death into a witness to everlasting life. Our Lord did not die on the cross so that we might be blue ribbon winners or gold medalists. He died on the cross to show us how to be the friends of God, how to be servants to one another. He gave his life as a ransom for many, so that we will know how to give our lives as a ransom for many more. What does your life stand for? What do you represent in the world? Whom do you serve? Here's a question for you. Will you die for me? For that guy behind you? For your next-door neighbor? If you will give your life as an offering for sin, the will of the Lord will be accomplished through you, and because of your affliction, you will see the light and fullness of day. Will you be small in the kingdom of God by dying to pride and greed in the service of others? Or will you insist on being great among the great of the world, and in the end find yourself among the great who proudly rule the smoldering trash heaps of Gehenna?